Hi, I'm Dr. Arthur Smith of the Seligman Medical Institute, or SMI, the foundation sponsoring this MindBody podcast series. SMI is devoted to research in mind-body medicine and specifically evaluating the tension myositis syndrome, or TMS. This diagnosis for back pain and other disorders was first described by Dr. John Sarno, who has authored several books on this subject. TMS is a diagnosis that connects the mind and body in chronic pain. Please note that TMS can only be definitively diagnosed by a qualified physician. This podcast is not intended to serve as a substitute for proper medical advice or treatment. Today, we will be discussing psychological issues and factors in chronic pain with two doctors treating TMS in the Los Angeles area, Dr. David Schechter, a physician, and Dr. Arlen Ring, a psychologist. Dr. Schechter.
Hi, this is Dr. David Schechter. And I'm here again with Dr. Arlen Ring, who is a psychologist with whom I've worked for a number of years in the treatment of tension myositis syndrome. As a physician, I see patients with chronic pain. And some of these individuals with chronic pain turn out not to have pain due to a specific structural factor, but in fact, I'm able to diagnose their pain as being ultimately due to emotional or psychological factors. This is actually so common that we have begun to look at it as a normal condition of being a human being rather than a disease. So people come to me with pain, and what I do is I teach them how their pain could be caused and triggered by emotions and how those emotions could go into the body through a process of the primitive brain, the limbic system, and what's called the fight and flight or autonomic nervous system, triggering changes in the muscles and nerves. When I explain this to them, they begin to look internally for some of the psychological triggers to the pain rather than getting stuck on the physical manifestation of the pain. So I brought Dr. Ring back again to discuss more about some of the fascinating psychological and mind-body connections with regard to this kind of chronic pain. Welcome, Dr. Ring.
Thank you. One thing to say about it is we've got tremendous capacity. So many of the people I see, in spite of their physical pain, have great achievements. But, you know, the way that our brain works, we were never meant to be in a situation of what I will call emergency level arousal continually. And yet we do find ourselves in that situation where one could say that our brain is developed, at least the older part of our brain is developed more to get away from a bear than it is to handle complex situations at work. And the result of that is that a lot of arousal occurs that we don't know how to handle, where sometimes even a very, very competent person finds painful emotions there beneath the surface. And there seems to be this automatic process in our brain, which you could call distraction or diversion. And it ends up coming out in physical pain. And it doesn't make a person a weak person. It doesn't make a person a sick person. It's simply part of the human condition, and ways have been developed to handle this. Ways have been developed to be able to handle all the things that a high-achieving person might want to have to do in their lives without having to suffer pain continually.
Well, as you point out, it's actually more common in our experience, this chronic pain, in individuals who are high-achieving, highly responsible individuals are probably more likely to suffer from this. And there's some personality characteristics that seem to drive some of the internalization of emotion, like anger, frustration, grief, fear, internalize that into these physical symptoms. And these physical symptoms are real physical pain, whether it be a headache, back pain, neck pain, arm pain, other conditions that can be diagnosed by more physically inclined doctors as an orthopedic condition or a rheumatological condition. But in fact, when we look more deeply at these conditions, they're actually functional pain caused by the repressed emotion inside the brain. What does it mean, a repressed emotion?
Well, we human beings have this amazing, and I really want to use the word amazing, capacity to manipulate our own consciousness. Maybe you've heard the expression, there's no one so blind as he who will not see. Or maybe you've heard the expression, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. And you've seen the three little monkeys with their hands, you know, over their eyes or over their mouth or over their ears. A part of how we maintain our balance is to keep painful emotions from overwhelming us. And there's several things that we can do that basically propel them into the unconscious. We can suppress emotions, which is I consciously know that I'm having a thought or feeling I don't like, and I'm going to push it away. I'm going to get away from it. Or we can repress them, which is the same process but happening totally outside of our awareness. And the problem with that is they don't go away. They're still under there. I analogize it to if you're looking at your computer and you don't like what's on the screen, you take it off the screen. And if you don't know how the computer system operates, you might believe it's gone now. But it's really there in memory. It's still operating. You've just lost the ability to monitor it, to know what's going on. So one way we get rid of these feelings very often is to develop pain in our body, the purpose of which is to distract us from having to be aware of these painful feelings. And the irony of it is that the feelings can be handled. We can learn how to handle them. You might need some help, but the feelings can learn to be handled, and then the whole process of creating pain is no longer necessary. But focusing on the pain tends not to go anywhere. It's circular. It reminds me of the story of the man who's walking down the street, and he sees a drunk looking for something around a lamppost, and he asks the drunk, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm looking for my keys." And he says, "Well, let me help you." And the drunk says, "Well, it won't be helpful to look here. They're really in that dark alley over there." And he says, "Then why are you looking here?" And he says, "Because I'm afraid to go in the alley." Well, in a way, we are going into the alley when we stop just focusing on the pain and start asking ourselves questions of, why do I have this pain? How does it work? Is it possible that I'm keeping away from something even scarier than the pain? The good news is you can come out the other side with your keys and without the pain.
So the methodology of treatment for this condition is a mechanism by which a person can learn a lot about themselves and really have a more of an awareness of themselves as a person. And as you pointed out, the pain itself serves as a diversion, a distraction, or as we also might call it, a protective mechanism to avoid certain types of feelings that can be threatening.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that's very true. And for those of you listening to it, here's something for you to consider. Have you experienced that one day the pain is just not there, and then the next day it's there again, and then the next day there's pain somewhere else instead? And consider how much more compatible that is with a distraction model than it is with the idea that you have this pain because there's something structurally wrong with your body.
So we're talking about physical pain. We're typically talking about chronic pain. We're talking about pain that might move from one part of the body to the other, or it might get stuck in one location. As a physician, I would caution any listener to certainly have any cause of their pain evaluated fully by a qualified medical doctor. But in the case where they tell you the pain is soft tissue, or it's myofascial, or there doesn't seem to be any significant structural or malignant cause for it, that's when this diagnosis of tension myositis syndrome might be applicable.
Yeah. You know, the mindset in our scientific culture tends to be very much towards the structural, and we've brought medicine to a very high level with that model, but there's just something not being seen here, and I think we all really have to challenge the mindset, you know, that something is either mental or it's physical, as opposed to the brain and the mind having the power to create physical symptoms. Want to say that it's not in your head, it is in your body, but it got to your body through the power of your head.
And that's a crucial point, because when we're talking about a psychosomatic disorder, or physical symptoms initiated by the brain for psychological purpose or reason. We're not dealing with imaginary pain. We're not dealing with pain that you're faking. We're not dealing with pain that's in your head, and we're not dealing with purely a mental disorder. We're dealing with physical pain, real pain, tender parts of the body to touch, muscle spasm, decreased range of motion, all of these kinds of things, but ultimately a skilled doctor who knows about tension myositis syndrome can diagnose this condition as being, as you put it, coming from the mind and in the body for this mind-body connection reason.
I agree.
Now, one of the interesting aspects of the unconscious is its timelessness. And we believe that the emotions that drive this pain are actually in the unconscious. You mentioned the concept of repression. Can you talk a little bit about the unconscious and what it represents?
Well, you know a lot more than you think you know, and you know a lot more than you're able to say. And we've all had a lot of experiences, including ones that happened before we were old enough to have words to describe them. And many of those experiences don't change. If something happened to you when you were younger and a lot of time has passed, it's still in there inside. You know, there's this cliche that time heals all wounds, but I have not found that to be so. I think time gives us the opportunity to heal wounds, but what actually happens if you don't do something, if you don't take advantage of that, is that time scars over wounds. And many of us have things inside that are very painful. I'd call them memories, but they're not conscious memories, but they are still affecting us. I would call them baggage. That's the word I use for them. And they are still affecting us. And if that baggage seems to want to come to the surface, and pain inside does seem to want to come to the surface, and we can't find words to express it, or we find it just too threatening, one way that the brain and its wisdom handles it is to give us something else to focus on that is so overwhelmingly powerful that it can distract us, and pain is such a thing.
What are some of the emotions that you have found are the ultimate source of the physical symptoms?
Well, probably the most single one is what you'd call rage. And rage is like anger, but it's just kind of more pervasive. It's less defined as, you know, you might say I'm angry because of this, but rage, I'm just angry. And anger and rage are hard to handle, and society is afraid of people's anger and rage with good reason. But we have anger for natural good reasons. Their purpose is to allow us to focus and generate our energy when we get too frustrated, when we're feeling abused. But rage and anger often go into physical pain. Another is fear. We feel threatened by something. Something's going to hurt us. The fear of other people controlling us very often can go to physical pain. And then there's what I will call our superego demands, and that's a word that we got from Freud, and I'm sorry to introduce a word like that, but it has meaning, and it's basically what we expect from ourselves. It's our conscious, it's our conscience, it's our inner critic. It's that part of us that is constantly talking in our ear and saying, you have to do this, you have to do that, and that can go into physical pain. And then there's simply being overwhelmed. I've worked with many people who are so capable and are doing so many things, and they arrive at my office with their calendar flying, and they just got here from something important, and they're going to go off to something important. And you can see that they're suffering. You can see that it's just kind of too much. Not that they can't handle it, but they're not giving themselves time even to reflect on what it's doing to them. So there's a lot of sources.
Well, I think that's a fascinating discussion of some of the emotional and psychological factors that underlie physical pain. And the treatment for this condition is ultimately understanding its root in the emotions, and where possible, becoming aware of some of these emotional triggers, personality characteristics, and issues from the past that fester and cause these physical symptoms. And you mentioned to me before, and perhaps we can finish up with this, the issue of a dual observer, an outside observer, and training a person to look at themselves and look at their experiences in a different way.
That's a good point, Dr. Schechter. You know, in our society, there's a common reaction to somebody who seems to focus on any negative experiences they've had, and that's stop dwelling on it, get over it, leave it behind. And it's really based on a misconception, because we can't just leave it behind, because it's there inside us with a substance. You know, just like they say a table is really composed of molecules and it's mostly space, but you still don't want to smash your knee onto it. You know, these experiences have a real substance to them. And there's a big difference, all the difference in the world, between dwelling on something versus bringing your present-day intelligence and awareness to bear on it. And people don't often make that distinction. And somebody wrestling with their problems from the past, but really looking at them through today's wisdom, through the wisdom they have today, is very, very powerful. And I'll call that dual focus. So when I work with somebody who's in pain, whether it's from something in the past or the physical pain, I try to instill in them this dual focus, which is the ability to really experience the unpleasantness of what they're experiencing, and at the same time to be looking at it from the viewpoint of an observer or a fair witness who's not so caught up in it. And I find that is very healing.
Dr. Ring, as usual, it's fascinating talking to you and hearing some of your insights about the psychology of tension myositis syndrome. I really want to thank you for coming over today and talking to me about it.
Thanks, Dr. Schechter and Dr. Ring, for this very practical and informative discussion of pain, TMS, and psychology. Also thanks to you, our listeners. You can give us feedback on this program by visiting www.smi-mindbodyresearch.org and emailing myself or Dr. Schechter. Dr. Ring's website is www.arlenring.com. That's ARLENRING.com. Dr. Schechter's website on TMS is www.mindbodymedicine.com. Thanks for listening.